Welcome to the Daily Radio Bible. The day is Monday, October the 9th, day 282 in our journey through the Bible. Hello to everyone out there. My name is Hunter, and we are about to do what we do every day. We're about to take some time in God's Word. We're about to let God's Word take a little time on us. You know how we need that? No doubt about that. Well, today I should be back here in Cincinnati. I'm doing this a little early just because of the travel that we'll be hopefully doing this day, making our way back from New Jersey to Cincinnati. And so we are here and you are there, and we're about to jump right into God's Word. Nehemiah chapter 1 and 2 is where we're going. Psalm 133. And Luke 22. We are reading through the New Living Translation. What do you say we jump right in here? Nehemiah chapter 1. These are the memoirs of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah. In late autumn, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes' reign, I was at the fortress of Susa. Hanani, one of my brothers, came to visit me with some of the men who had just arrived from Judah. I asked them about the Jews who had returned there from captivity and about how things were going in Jerusalem. They said to me, "Things are not going well for those who return to the province of Judah. They are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem has been torn down and the gates have been destroyed by fire." When I heard this, I sat down and wept. In fact, for days I mourned, fasted, and prayed to the God of heaven. Then I said, "O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of unfailing love with those who love him and obey his commands, listen to my prayer. Look down and see me praying night and day for your people Israel. I confess that we have sinned against you. Yes, even my own family and I have sinned. We have sinned terribly by not obeying the commands, decrees, and regulations that you gave us through your servant Moses. Please remember what you told your servant Moses. If you are unfaithful to me, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands and live by them, then even if you are exiled to the ends of the earth, I will bring you back to the place I have chosen for my name to be honored. The people you rescued by your great power and your strong hand are your servants, O Lord. Please hear my prayer. Listen to the prayers of those who delight in honoring you. Please grant me success today by making the king favorable to me. Put it into his heart to be kind to me." In those days, I was the king's cupbearer. Nehemiah chapter 2. Early the following spring, in the month of Nisan, during the 20th year of King Artaxerxes' reign, I was serving the king his wine. I had never before appeared sad in his presence. So the king asked me, "Why are you looking so sad? You don't look sick to me. You must be deeply troubled." Then I was terrified, but I replied, "Long live the king! How can I not be sad? For the city where my ancestors are buried is in ruins, and the gates have been destroyed by fire." The king asked, "Well, how can I help you?" With a prayer to the God of heaven, I replied, "If it please the king, and if you are pleased with me, your servant, send me to Judah to rebuild the city where my ancestors are buried." The king, with the queen sitting beside him, asked, "How long will you be gone? When will you return?" After I told him how long I would be gone, the king agreed to my request. I also said to the king, "If it please the king, let me have letters addressed to the governors of the province west of the Euphrates River, instructing them to let me travel safely through their territory on my way to Judah. And please give me a letter addressed to Asaph, the manager of the king's forest, instructing him to give me timber. I will need it to make beams for the gates of the temple fortress, for the city walls, and for a house for myself." And the king granted these requests because the gracious hand of God was on me. When I came to the governors of the province west of the Euphrates River, I delivered the king's letters to them. The king, I should add, had sent along army officers and horsemen to protect me. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official heard of my arrival, they were very displeased that someone had come to help the people of Israel. So I arrived in Jerusalem 3 days later. I slipped out during the night, taking only a few others with me. I had not told anyone about the plans God had put in my heart for Jerusalem. We took no pack animals with us, except the donkey I was riding. After dark, I went out through the valley gate, past the jackal's well, and over to the dung gate to inspect the broken walls and burned gates. Then I went to the fountain gate and to the king's pool, but my donkey couldn't get through the rubble. So though it was still dark, I went up the Kidron Valley instead, inspecting the wall before I turned back and entered again at the valley gate. The city officials did not know I had been out there or what I was doing, for I had not yet said anything to anyone about my plans. I had not yet spoken to the Jewish leaders, the priests, the nobles, the officials, or anyone else in the administration. But now I said to them, "You know very well what trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been destroyed by fire. Let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem and end this disgrace." Then I told them about how the gracious hand of God had been on me, and about my conversation with the king. They replied at once, "Yes, let's rebuild the wall." So they began the good work. But when Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem, the Arab, heard of our plan, they scoffed contemptuously. "What are you doing? Are you rebelling against the king?" they asked. I replied, "The God of heaven will help us succeed. We, his servants, will start rebuilding this wall. But you have no share, legal right, or historic claim in Jerusalem." Psalm 133. Oh, how wonderful and pleasant it is when brothers live together in harmony. For harmony is as precious as the anointing oil that was poured over Aaron's head, that ran down his beard and onto the border of his robe. Harmony is as refreshing as the dew from Mount Hermon that falls on the mountains of Zion. And there the Lord has pronounced his blessing, even life everlasting. Luke chapter 22. Judas agrees to betray Jesus. The festival of unleavened bread, which is also called Passover, was approaching. The leading priests and the teachers of religious law were plotting how to kill Jesus, but they were afraid of the people's reaction. Then Satan entered into Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12 disciples, and he went to the leading priest and captain of the temple guard to discuss the best way to betray Jesus to them. They were delighted, and they promised to give him money. So he agreed and began looking for an opportunity to betray Jesus so that they could arrest him when the crowds weren't around. Now the festival of unleavened bread arrived when the Passover lamb is sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John ahead and said, "Go and prepare the Passover meal so we can eat it together." "Where do you want us to prepare it?" they asked him. He replied, "As soon as you enter Jerusalem, a man carrying a pitcher of water will meet you. Follow him. At the house he enters, say to the owner, 'The teacher asks, where is the guest room where I can eat the Passover meal with my disciples?' He will take you upstairs to a large room that is already set up. That is where you should prepare our meal." They went off to the city and found everything just as Jesus had said, and they prepared the Passover meal there. When the time came, Jesus and the apostles sat down together at the table. Jesus said, "I have been very eager to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins. For I tell you now that I won't eat this meal again until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. Then he said, "Take this and share it among yourselves. For I will not drink wine again until the kingdom of God has come." He took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took another cup of wine and said, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you. But here at this table, sitting among us as a friend, is the man who will betray me. For it has been determined that the Son of Man must die, but what sorrow awaits the one who betrays him?" The disciples began to ask each other which of them would ever do such a thing. Then they began to argue among themselves about who would be the greatest among them. Jesus told them, "In this world the kings and great men lord it over their people, yet they are called friends of the people. But among you it will be different. Those who are the greatest among you should take the lowest rank, and the leader should be like a servant. Who is more important, the one who sits at the table or the one who serves? The one who sits at the table, of course, but not here, for I am among you as one who serves. You have stayed with me in my time of trial, and just as my Father has granted me a kingdom, I now grant you the right to eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. And you will sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Satan has asked to sift each of you like wheat. But I have pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith should not fail. So when you have repented and turned to me again, strengthen your brothers. Peter said, Lord, I'm ready to go to prison with you and even die with you. But Jesus said, Peter, let me tell you something. Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny three times that you even know me. Then Jesus asked them, when I sent you out to preach the good news and you did not have money or a traveler's bag or an extra pair of sandals, did you need anything? No, they replied. But now, he said, take your money and a traveler's bag, and if you don't have a sword, sell your cloak and buy one. For the time has come for this prophecy about me to be fulfilled. He was counted among the rebels. Yes, everything written about me by the prophets will come true. Lord, look, they replied, we have two swords among us. That's enough, he said. Then, accompanied by the disciples, Jesus left the upstairs room and went as usual to the Mount of Olives. There he told them, pray that you will not give in to temptation. He walked away about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed. Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. Then an angel from heaven appeared and strengthened him. He prayed more fervently, and he was in such agony of spirit that his sweat fell to the ground like great drops of blood. At last he stood up again and returned to the disciples, only to find them asleep, exhausted from grief. Why are you sleeping? He asked them. Get up and pray so that you will not give in to temptation. But even as Jesus said this, a crowd approached, led by Judas, one of the 12 disciples. Judas walked over to Jesus to greet him with a kiss. But Jesus said, Judas, would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss? When the other disciples saw what was about to happen, they exclaimed, Lord, should we fight? We brought the swords. And one of them struck at the high priest's slave, slashing off his right ear. But Jesus said, no more of this. And he touched the man's ear and healed him. Then Jesus spoke to the leading priest, the captains of the temple guard, and the elders who had come for him. Am I some dangerous revolutionary, he asked, that you come with me with swords and clubs to arrest me? Why didn't you arrest me in the temple? I was there every day. But this is your moment, the time when the power of darkness reigns. So they arrested him and led him to the high priest's home, and Peter followed at a distance. The guards lit a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat around it, and Peter joined them there. A servant girl noticed him in the firelight and began staring at him. Finally, she said, this man was one of Jesus' followers. But Peter denied it. Woman, he said, I don't even know him. After a while, someone else looked at him and said, you must be one of them. No, man, I am not, Peter retorted. About an hour later, someone else insisted, this must be one of them because he is a Galilean too. But Peter said, man, I don't know what you're talking about. And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. At that moment, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Suddenly, the Lord's words flashed through Peter's mind. Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny three times that you even know me. And Peter left the courtyard, weeping bitterly. The guards in charge of Jesus began mocking and beating him. They blindfolded him and said, prophesy to us! Who hit you that time? And they hurled all sorts of terrible insults at him. At daybreak, all the elders of the people assembled, including the leading priest and the teachers of religious law. Jesus was led before this high council, and they said, tell us, are you the Messiah, But he replied, "If I tell you, you won't believe me. And if I ask you a question, you won't answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated in the place of power at God's right hand." They all shouted, "So you are claiming to be the Son of God?" And he replied, "You say that I am." "Why do we need other witnesses?" they said. "We ourselves heard him say it." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. They were right. They were right. These religious leaders who had gathered around Jesus, they were right. They had heard what he said, and they didn't need any more witnesses. He was who he said he was. But what he said he was and who he said he was wasn't what any of us really desired. The religious leaders, Judas, Peter, the disciples, us, in the end, who he said he was isn't what we really wanted. We've heard what he said. We don't need any more witnesses. Jesus couldn't have made it any more clear. Jesus says, "I'm a king who's come to serve. I'm a king who's come to serve at the table, not to be served." He said, if you want to be great in my kingdom, you have to serve and not just lord it over other people the way the kings of this world do. If you want to be great, you have to be the least. Well, he couldn't be more clear. We've heard what he said. We don't need any more witnesses. But what he said, we don't really desire, because our kingdoms run on a whole different ecosystem there. We want to find our significance through our power and our possessions and our position in life. We want to succeed by becoming the greatest, not by becoming the least. But Jesus made it very clear. We have heard what he said. We don't need any more witnesses. The Son of God, the Messiah, the King, his kingdom is not like ours. And as followers in his kingdom, we are to be servants like him, and we don't need any other witnesses. We've heard what he said. He couldn't have been more clear. And Jesus has prayed for us just as he prayed for Peter, because like Peter, we have the best intentions, but we lack the power to live as real servants of the King. Like Peter, we say we'll go to all the ends of the earth. We will do what we say. We are going to be the most loyal, the most devoted. But in the end, we lack the power to live like servants of the King. But Jesus says this, I've prayed for you. I've prayed that once you have been sifted, you'll repent. You'll come to an end of yourself. And then you will strengthen your brothers. You'll strengthen them by serving them. You'll strengthen them by showing them what it is to be a servant king in my kingdom. You'll strengthen them by offering them my strength in and through you. You becoming less, me becoming more in and through you. They were right. They had heard what he said. They didn't need any more witnesses, but their desire for what he said, well, they didn't have a desire for it at all. And God has prayed for us. He's prayed that after we have been sifted, we will repent and we will be granted a new desire, a desire to be servant kings, those who come to serve, those who recognize that he is great and that his greatness is made best known through my weakness. May God grant us that perspective. May God's prayer be fully realized in our own life. And though we are so like Peter in so many ways, may we be like Peter was in the end, a servant of King Jesus, a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. That's my prayer for my own heart today. That's my prayer for my family, for my wife, for my kids. That's my prayer for you. And that can happen if we want it to. May it be so. Well, it's always great to hear from you. It really is. To find out a little bit about you, who you are, where you're from, and how you stumbled upon this podcast. So next time you got a moment, take it and let a brother know. And you know what I love to have you make known? That is, make known among the people in your life. Make the Word of God known. And you can do that by sharing the app. We've made it free. We've made it easy. All you have to do is click on the icon on the app that says share the app. And there's about 5 different ways you can pass it on to people. So consider that. You might play a big part in someone's new journey with God simply by sharing the Word. Another thing I would love for you to do would be to sign up for our email newsletter. Sign up for it. We send out a newsletter about once a month, no more than that. And it's a great way to stay in the know about the happenings and the whereabouts and whatnots of the Daily Radio Bible, like our upcoming move to New Jersey. That's right. I will be moving to New Jersey. Our family will be moving there here in the weeks, the months ahead. Our date is not yet fixed, but we know that we will soon be arriving there. I'll be pastoring at Zarephath Christian Church. It's my old church, and it's a bittersweet thing. You know, we love the folks, love this church here in Cincinnati, going to miss so many dear friends that God has given us. But God has called us, and so we're going to make our way, following Him, back to Zarephath. If you're in the Central Jersey area, I would love to invite you to come join us at Zarephath Christian Church. You can find out information by going to zarephath.org, Zareph, zarephath.org, like the widow of Zarephath. Well, hey, my friends, we have done it again. We have spent another day in the Bible, and I plan on being back here again tomorrow to do the same thing. Lord willing and the creek don't rise, I fully intend to be here. Until that time, let's go forward in God's joy. Let's let His joy be our strength. And let's remember this, that you are loved. No doubt about it. Alrighty, I'll talk to you again tomorrow. You take care. Bye-bye.